Here's Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance It. Do you have $650 million, Bob?
Yep.
You do?
Yep, absolutely. Who doesn't?
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, you could buy a hockey team if you have that kind of scratch.
Exactly.
What do you make of that announcement?
First of all, why are you not down in Florida? How did you miss that assignment?
Yeah.
You can't overdo it. And I had to go to NBC and make some American money last night. So priorities.
There you go.
Okay.
The big priority.
Plus we had, you got Dregs down there. We got Cervelli down there. We got LeBrun down there. We got Gino down there.
Yeah.
I will make sure that, I will be in Florida for the general managers meeting in March after the trade deadline and mail it in March. And,
there you go.
I really like that name,
Mail It In March.
we always try to tack on a few days on the front of the GM's meetings, and if I didn't have NBC on the back end of it, I might have tacked a couple of days in on the back end. But in any case.
What is the point of a GM meeting after the trade deadline? Like, what's the
because
point?
Because they will focus on things like where the game is at and what the game means, because now they can't worry about their teams anymore. They used to have GM meetings before the trade deadline, and they couldn't get anything done because every GM was freaking out because their team was either winning or losing, and they were trying to make trades, and nobody wanted to talk about the rules or the way the game is played or take care of any of the business that needed to be taken care of. So they have clearer minds, and so do we in the media.
I was thinking about the GMs today, seeing those guys, our guys down there from TSN. Like, do the GMs, do they walk with a swagger according to the situation? Like, does Peter Chiarelli basically just hide around corners and doesn't want to talk to anybody? And, like, does Steve Yzerman just walk out there with chest out? Or do
no.
they really...
No,
just...
here's what happens, is that they, all of them basically try to be invisible. Because the ones who aren't doing well don't really want to have to get into it too much. And the ones that are doing very well do not enjoy any moment of it, because they all live in constant fear that they're one loss away from hitting the skids. And there's not a general manager in the league that enjoys life. It's such a hard job. And when they're successful, or relatively successful, or things are going well, all they worry about is what's going to go wrong and when's it going to go wrong. Because that's the nature of the game. Because that's, and it's true. Because sooner or later, even for the best teams, things are going to be bad. Somebody's going to get injured, and things are going to be bad. And so they don't even get to enjoy the good days.
Or someone could get suspended because they speared a guy when they were sitting on the bench. Matthew Tkachuk getting a game for just utter stupidity, completely unnecessary. I don't even know what his defense would have been when George Parros called him this morning. I mean, how could he have possibly avoided a suspension in that situation?
Yep, absolutely. I think he got off lucky, to be honest with you, and we got the one game. I thought with, you know, getting the game that he got before on the Witkowski thing, that they might have dinged him for two or three, and they didn't. So, but I, you know what? He's 20 years old. He'll figure it out. He figured, and you know what? He's actually figured out a lot, and people are going to say, oh, come on. But he had a couple of slew foots last year, and he was lucky he didn't get suspended for those. I don't think he did anyways. And he was really lucky he didn't get suspended for a couple of those. And he's gotten that part of stupidity he's gotten out of his game. Obviously, this stuff, he's a slow learner, because if he picked up the signals from the NHL after Witkowski, he wouldn't have done what he did to Martin in the game last night. But I also think that he has his on-ice play. I think he's been less chirpy. I think he's been less aggravating when he's actually out on the ice, which is funny because he lapsed into his old ways while standing on the bench. And doing that to Martin, which was really kind of silly, and as you guys said, no excuse for it. But I think he's trying to figure it out as he goes, and at the end of the day, we're talking about a guy who's going to be an absolute star in the National Hockey League and is already an incredible player at age 19 or 20, whatever.
Well, we were talking about Burke earlier, and Burke's take on this publicly, he would support his guy, but Brian Burke has been on a crusade for years against the rats of the NHL. And he's a proponent of fighting because it keeps the rats out of the game. I mean, if you got him in an honest moment, how do you? Wouldn't he have to define Tkachuk as a rat right now? Is he a rat? Is he...
Yeah, although I think he'd answer the bell. I mean,
yeah, he fought. You know, didn't he fight?
Remember, he had the thing going with Doughty last year. Yeah. And he wasn't. I don't think he was shy about backing off.
He fought
that.
First shift against the LA Kings.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who he fought. It was like
did he fight. Was it Clifford?
I was going to say Kyle Clifford. I think so.
I forget balls. Who it was, but he'll go. He's like a lot of guys. But even they said that of all the guys, Matt Cook and others. Matt Cook did whatever he did to Savard on the head, and then would he fight Thornton? You know, and so he's like, okay, so great, I fought. It didn't really. I don't think it altered his approach that much. But in any case, I think Matthew Tkachuk is such a good hockey player. And that, you know, he's slowly but surely here. And again, I don't give him a free pass at all. What he did is really stupid, and I think he's really fortunate. I thought he should have been probably suspended 2 or 3 games, and he got 1. But I think slowly but surely he is figuring that sort of the stuff out.
Flames in Montreal tonight, and Jager won't go again. Like, when did they start getting rattled that they even signed him? He never plays.
Yeah, well, I mean, lots of players get injured, and if you're,
50 years old,
if you're 400 years old, there's bound to be a few more aches and pains and problems that you have to deal with. But, there's lots of young players in the National Hockey League are injured a lot. And historically, actually, over these last number of years, I don't have it in front of me here. I can look it up real quick. Let me do research here. Jager, DB, that's all we need. There we go. So let's have a look at Jaromir Jagr. Last season for the Florida Panthers, 82 games. 15-16, Florida Panthers, 79 games. 14-15, played 77 between the two teams, New Jersey and Florida. 13-14 season, 82 games for the New Jersey Devils. I mean, he's been a really durable player. There have been a lot of guys 15, 20 years younger than him in the National Hockey League, we've missed a lot more games over the last 4 or 5 seasons. But obviously, this season that hasn't been the case. But we'll see how quick he can bounce back here.
Bob McKenzie, Freddie Anderson, unbelievable last night. How would he rank for you in terms of the acquisitions of the Shanahan era? Like he's at the top of my list. That includes hiring Babcock, just because I think a goaltender is more important than a head coach.
Yep. Now, did you feel that way in the...
No, in October? No.
Yeah.
No. I thought McElhaney was a better acquisition.
So I just want to make sure that your pronouncements of where these rankings occur...
Right.
These rankings on the Shanna plan are very fleeting, correct?
Yes, they move. Right. They move a lot.
Moving target.
It's like a board in Vegas. It can change every day.
All right. In that instance, then I will give you that it's very good. But you know what? It was a big deal because it wasn't so much that they made the trade for him. It was that they immediately, without, a substantial body of work in Toronto or maybe the full sample size you would like to see for a guy that's going to be your number one goaltender, because he was in and out on that number one status with Anaheim. But, they immediately awarded him the contract. And I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. This is a little bit of a roll of the dice. Not a huge one, but we'll see. And I think so far, on balance, even taking the slow start last season, the little bit lesser of a slow start this season, that it's full value right now.
Yeah, he has been.
He's up in the Vezina race. I mean, it doesn't matter where you're at as of December 7th or whatever it is. Yeah. There's a lot of road left in front of us this season.
Left.
A lot of things can change, but you got to give him credit. I mean, the guy, he stole 2 points last night.
Yeah.
He stole a point from Calgary. They still got 1. But the Leafs had no right of getting any points last night.
I agree.
And he was outstanding. So,
yeah, he's been very good.
Very good
about it.
All right, Bob. We'll let you go and we'll see what you got in store with the Seattle news. We're waiting to see what kind of money you're putting up to get in on that ownership group out in Seattle.
Seattle, that'd be a nice place to go and hang out.
Not bad. $650 million. You're in the show.
Seattle's a great city.
Yeah.
I think they'll do well there.
I was there for I did a Memorial Cup there, and that was a long time ago. That was in the 90s. I'm sure it's like anything else. It's completely changed, and now you've got the Mariners and the Seahawks, and It's a cool part of the world.
Oh, yeah. All right, Bobby. Enjoy it.
Awesome, boys. Have a good one.
There he is, Bob McKenzie, joining us here on Overdrive. And the Hockey Insiders brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It.